The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Good morning, I'm Elliot Danker, just back from a weekend in Sri Lanka, Colombo, Sri Lanka. I was there for a wedding and my experience there was, service-wise, I was surprised. It was pretty excellent. Lots of human touch, lots of questions being asked, attending to every detail, a lot of service staff as well. And it got me thinking in the lead up to this morning's conversation that these days, customers' first line of contact for customer service are usually chatbots. A study was conducted and 51% of customers never approach a business again after one bad experience. And this is on the back of, you know, how today's day and age, there are a lot of chatbots, right? And that's why chatbots are so important in creating a positive impression of the company. Surprisingly, about 70% of customers prefer chat to voice. Now, results from the same study also showed that nearly two-thirds of customers who engage with a chat platform are more likely to return to a website and purchase again. But the real question is, how accurate is this? Can chatbots really do all the work to retain customer loyalty? I mean, what else do companies use these chatbots for? Well, it's great that we've got an expert guest in the studio this morning. Kang To, CTO of AIQ, joins us in the studio to tell us more. And more importantly, how can we build a good chatbot? Just a little bit of background, AIQ is a computer vision solutions company powered by artificial intelligence. Kang, good morning. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, good morning.
You've got 15 years of experience in the industry. At AIQ, you oversee the technology and development teams in Singapore and Indonesia. Could you tell us a little bit more about the expertise in these areas?
So AIQ is focused in AI. So we are using AI to tackle a very big problem with computer vision. So computer vision has to do with how a computer perceives an image. And from that technology, we are looking at how chatbots can be deployed and used in businesses and, you know, as far as I for marketers. So AIQ's technology has been used widely for marketing. And of course, AI itself is, you know, has a very broad usage and can be used in many industry. So back to your questions, like just being through the whole tech industry for the past 15 years, I've seen many different technology being implemented and used in for businesses and marketing purposes. So if you think about it, mobile apps started in 2008 and, you know, we are about 11 years now like into the market, and things have really changed over the decade.
And it's quite interesting because this was a buzzword some years ago, and you realize right now that we've barely scratched the surface. I mean, the market for digital assistants for things like chatbots, it could reach like more than 7.7 billion by the year 2025, 1 billion active users by that time. Right here in Singapore, before we expand out to the rest of the region, how big is the use of chatbot here in Singapore?
Yeah, so according to my own research, I think globally, the market's going to reach $1 billion
okay.
In 2024. That's from various research that I've seen online. So APAC's going to take about 35%, a third of that, so 350 billion by 2024. Mm-hmm. And I imagine Singapore, you know, having to top about 10% of the entire APAC market size, which then takes us to about $35 million 2024. So that's pretty okay for a very new industry. Just to give you some context, in terms of like the Apple App Store, for example, it took them about 10, 11 years. And so last year, Apple paid out about $100 billion to developers.
Okay.
So you can imagine what's the market size like, you know, compared to like the App Store. Okay. So we're still very early right now, but of course, like we're seeing good signs where the market's going to rapidly grow.
So early days, positive days, which industries are picking this up more?
I think, you know, the very obvious use case is the industry that's picking this up more is e-commerce.
Okay.
So e-commerce are using it a lot to help with customer engagement, trying to offload customer service to a computer or software to help them. Because, well, if you think about it, in the whole process of shopping online, you know, it's already digital, right? Everyone's yes. kind of like on their phone, and, you know, how else can you actually help them for e-commerce companies to help the shoppers get to their destination quickly, which is to add to their shopping cart, check out, pay, and then get, you know, get your goods. Yep. And so chatbots are involved in various stages of the entire process. And just by improving that whole process, is, you know, increases their bottom line, which is their revenue.
What other industries do you think has potential to really make use of chatbots? I mean, would you consider, say, the hospitality sector being one of them? Booking a hotel online?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, various industries are taking a look at how, you know, they can actually smoothen the whole process, either internally or externally for customers. So, you know, you can see the travel industry is picking this up where there are chatbots that would help you to find destinations that you are interested in and then eventually help you book that ticket or the hotel room, right? So the experience has been implemented at all various stages of that of the process.
Sure.
So I think now, you know, outside of the normal industry, you would expect you're looking at finance, you're looking at insurance. So you can actually talk to a insurance company, which is actually backed by a chatbot.
Sure.
So a lot of that helps with frequently asked questions, helping with their you know, helpline. So you talk to a chatbot first, and if you couldn't find or, you know, find what you need, and then they will redirect you to a real person to assist you. And actually, recently, I came across a company that's working on chatbot for as a medical doctor. So it's called BotMD. It's an app. So you can actually talk to the chatbot and, you know, talk about the conditions and things like that. It will give you sort of like some, I guess, tips and hints on, you know, what to look out for. But ultimately, of course, you know, you're still talking to a software, and then the advice would be, hey, go see a doctor if that's the case.
Doctor by Google was scary. Chatbot being a doctor. The way you describe it, before you know it, it's so integrated into our lives, and we don't really realize how this could potentially affect manpower spending. What are you getting off the ground?
Right now, companies are investing in chatbots. They're not replacing their manpower with chatbots.
Okay.
That's because, you know, the solution, the self is still needs to be proven, right? It's a relatively new technology and companies taking more a conservative approach when, you know, with a new technology, they want to be able to integrate that into their company, their processes, step by step. So, you know, we're seeing actually, you know, some of the processes being used and helped by chatbots, and then the actual person frees up to be working on or focusing on other aspects of their jobs.
So very much an integration as opposed to replacement approach with regard to chatbot. Do you see it ever becoming a replacement?
I don't think so. I don't think we'll see that maybe the next 10 years, like probably not. But of course, like, we never expected the App Store to gross $100 billion, right? So those are the things that can actually change quickly. And I think, but, you know, chatbots now are a very early stage technology. And so there's a lot of investment and research into the whole industry, the technology behind it. But of course, like, the human touch can't be replaced by a computer, I think. So whenever it comes to great customer service, I think the human touch still wins.
Kang To, CTO of AIQ, in the studio with me. Kang, how would you measure the success or, you know, even the efficiency of a chatbot? Basically, what makes a good chatbot?
Yeah, so there are many methods that's available nowadays. Like, so a chatbot, it's you know, if you just put it down, it's essentially a software.
Yeah.
So think about it as a marketing tool if you're using it for marketing, customer service, and things like that. So there are tools that allows you to measure, you know, how good is your chatbot. So just like a website, you have Google Analytics. There's analytics for you to look at things like total users, active users, new users. So those are like very essential metrics that you look at when you deploy a chatbot, right? So you want to see how many users your chatbot are serving, you know, every month. And how many, you know, once when a new user comes on board, how active are they? Are they actively using the chatbot? So that's very similar to how if you were to build like a mobile app, right? Those are the similar things that you look at. Then it comes down to what actually does your chatbot do? Like if your chatbot is to help serve a customer by answering frequently asked questions, analytics to understand how effective is the chatbot. Does it answer like 80% of the questions that's being asked by the customers, and things like that. So it comes down to, like, you know, what kind of functionality or what kind of use cases does a chatbot do, and then how do you use analytics to look at how effective it is.
Okay. It's interesting because at first glance, you see chatbots and you think how they help you in terms of customer service, that very primary function, but you listed the secondary function first, which was gathering data and whatnot. My question, Kang, is how much does a chatbot in this instance contribute to a company's revenue?
Right now, there like companies that are, you know, adding revenue directly to their bottom line, I would say like e-commerce, where it, you know, helping customers to check out, find the right product, and ultimately getting the product add to cart, check out, pay, and ship to you, and, you know, giving you status. So providing sort of a very integrated process with the whole shopping experience.
Okay.
That's adding to the bottom line of, you know, revenue for these companies. But, you know, the industry as a whole, like generating revenue directly from chatbots, I would say, you know, developers right now, they are in messaging platforms, they are giving tools to business and consumers to use these chatbots. They are generating revenue from, you know, building chatbot software and things like that.
Okay. We're, of course, talking about chatbots and what makes a good chatbot. Kang Teo, CTO of AIQ, in the studio with me. Chatbots, machine learning to adapt their responses to different situations. That's the basic description of it. Kang, how much research is being done to ensure accuracy with regard to the responses?
Yeah, I think there is a very big push to make, you know, NLU, National Language Understanding, and NLP, okay, National Language Processing. And a company that I'm closely, that I know, Facebook, is actually open sourcing a lot of these technologies that are built internally and been used on one of the top messaging platforms for Facebook is called Messenger. Mm. So Messenger has its own, I would say, like chatbot that's built within on Messenger where you can actually use that chatbot to perform scheduling and a date with your friend or a movie night or things like that.
Sure.
And a lot of that technology is being open sourced. And so as a chatbot developer or a company looking to build your own chatbot, you can actually have, you have access to all this technology versus like maybe 3 years ago where, you know, you sort of have to build everything yourself. So understanding what the user is trying to tell you, essentially what the chatbot needs to know, right?
Okay.
The user's intent, that's actually a huge challenge, a big problem that Facebook has been working on for maybe a lot of years, I would imagine.
Okay. Is this, I mean, with regard to Facebook Messenger chatbots, is this a demographic thing? Is that the major difference between that and a regular website chatbot?
There's not a huge difference. I mean, they perform the same thing.
Okay.
It's just that a website chatbot tend to be more simplistic, where you would start a conversation and then usually it's about finding out about what, you know, the product is. Let's say you're on a website,
sure,
you see this thing pops up. How can I help you to know about our product, right? In Messenger, there's a lot of different types of chatbots. You can have a chatbot that actually pretends itself as a cat. And so you can actually talk to a cat, and the cat actually wants to let you know about the weather.
Okay.
That's sort of like a funny chatbot, but of course there are other chatbots that from various companies and brands that are trying to tap onto Messenger and allowing users on Messenger to interact and find out more about their brands.
But why have businesses chosen FB Messenger? I mean, a particular pro or con to it, in your opinion?
I think mainly the user base. Messenger in this region,
right,
and worldwide has a very large user base. I think in terms of like worldwide, they are second or third in terms of number of users that is using Messenger as a chat platform. And of course, Facebook itself has provided the platform free of charge for developers to build chatbots on top of. So brands and companies are making use of that availability and its user base. And, you know, when it launched 2015, when Facebook launched their chatbots platform in 2015, it was not as good as today's. And they've made a lot of investment and improvements to user interfaces, APIs, and things like that to make building a better chatbot on Messenger.
Bit of familiarity as well. Right? We're also used to Facebook. Kang To, CTO of AIQ, in the studio with me. Just to quickly wrap up, Kang, what else, in your opinion, do you think is needed to grow and improve chatbots, say, over the next 10 years?
I think better technology. I think, like, in that sense, how to, you know, tools that allows you to build better chatbots and better understand the user's intent. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great thing that Facebook is open sourcing a lot of that technology. So 2 years ago, you probably need to use a proprietary like technology to be able to build that. And now you have the availability of open source technologies that you can actually freely use, free of charge, and then be able to build better experience where how your chatbots can understand the user's intent.
Yeah.
On the other side, I see there's this other sector, enterprises, they are using chatbots internally for employees. So employees actually can perform many things using a chatbot. Imagine like booking a room instead of talking to a human resource person, which feels kind of intimidating. They're actually talking to a chatbot. So those are like use cases that I see that is rapidly growing. And that's a good sign, because when I see a technology adoption in the enterprise for, you know, internal use, I think the value proposition is very strong. And that's going to contribute to the bottom line, the industry, and everyone's going to thrive. And hopefully it'll be a bigger thing in 10 years from now.
You know what I need? A chat bot on our internal system to remind me the steps to apply for claims, because I keep forgetting.
Exactly. Like, you need that.
Hey, Kang To, CTO of AIQ, in the studio. We've been talking about chatbots. Kang, thank you so much for your time today. Take care and have a great Tuesday ahead. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.